Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City, and we have a very special guest filling in for Jared this week. You know him from Katie's season. You might have seen him. Actually, you probably didn't see him on Bachelor in Paradise Canada, unless you live in Canada. And we have Brendan. How's it going?
Hey guys, how are you? Hi Kay.
How are you? What's going on? What's been going on this past? You know, I haven't seen you since San Diego. I feel like the audience needs to know what your life is.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. This is a little nerve-wracking. I have to fill in for Jared. Obviously, I love Jared, and this is some big shoes to fill, so I appreciate you wanting me to be here with you. Things are good. I do miss you. It's been too long, and I'm excited to be here today with you.
Cool. So what are your initial thoughts of this season? I want to know. I've been watching you tweet here and there. I want to know, like, what your overall thoughts are this season. Like, do you like the two bachelorettes? What do you think about the guys? How does this compare to your season? Just like overall.
Yeah, I think overall, the start of this season was very odd just because of making up rules on the fly. So Jesse coming in, kind of throwing rules out there. It's definitely tough for Gabby and Rachel. There's no chance I could be in their shoes. I do feel that, you know, episode 1 and 2, the first couple weeks of this season, there's a lot of guys got the short end of the stick. I feel like they should have had, you know, some opportunities with Gabby and some other guys with Rachel. So the rules are definitely getting used to, but now since Gabby and Rachel have kind of separated their journeys, now it's sort of, it's making sense now.
Now, do you think that it would be hard to be a guy on this season because Jared and I talk about, you know, the fact that you at the beginning, you kind of have to flirt with both girls and figure out who, but you also kind of want to show one girl who you're into the most. You know what I mean? So you're actually picked and it doesn't seem like you're playing the field too much, but it also is about playing the field and figuring out, like, who do I like?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be like Logan at this point. So it is like you made a great point, Kate. You definitely need to show interest in both women early on. And, you know, you look at every lead, they have so many options to choose from with men. I feel like men should have options as well, have time with both women. It's really tough. I don't know how the guys are doing it. It is, like I said, I think guys got the short end of the stick early on, and there's guys getting very confused now with, you know, week 3, week 4. So if I was in their shoes, I would definitely want to play both sides and see who I connect with. But some guys are going to get that instant connection, and you just got to kind of trust your gut and trust your heart.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's always a instant, yes, I like this person, or instant, yeah, no, I don't like this person. I remember going on dates and I would show up to the date and instantly be like, oh no. I mean, immediately without even having to have any sort of conversation. But obviously I would say on the date, I'm not a dick, but you kind of know sometimes at the very beginning if it's going to be a thing or not.
Well, you definitely see connections building, you know, especially the guys getting the one-on-ones and, you know, the last episode, you do see, for example, Tino and Jason, you can see they're happy with their picks. They're not confused. I think you just need that one-on-one time to really decide. It is tough with, you know, group dates to get that time with the lead. You know, I definitely understand how it is. So I definitely know there's no doubt in my mind, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but there are some guys just accepting roses just to stay. There's no chance they know for sure if they want Gabby or Rachel.
Yeah.
So like I said, it's a tough scenario for both sides. I feel for the guys and I obviously feel for the leads. It's a grind out there.
Okay, so let's get into the synopsis and dive into the episode. Are you ready?
Let's do it. I'm super excited for this.
All right. So Gabby and Rachel fly up to Paris for their one-on-ones with Jason and Tino.
We get two separate group dates, but somehow they're both all about Rachel.
Hayden continues to talk shit and gets called out, but forgot everything is being recorded and denies it all.
Logan decides he's actually there for Gabby and not Rachel, but accepts another rose from Rachel because this obviously needs to be drawn out.
I can't wait to talk about Logan because I feel like this is such a hot topic, and mainly because we posted on an Instagram story last week, and maybe it was the week before. I did a takeover on the pod Instagram account, and I was asking everybody, who do we like, who don't we like, and they all said, they were like, Logan is sus, and we are getting into it, and things are happening, so.
Yeah, well, you know what, though, you can definitely, he kind of was a front runner early on, right? He was playing the field, he was doing what he thought was right before the rules changed, you know, kissing both women, getting time. Like, he definitely got a lot of screen time early on, and he got that time with the women, which is super rare. So it's funny how one episode has shifted the look of Logan.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like you should know at this point, and if you accepted that rose from Rachel, this is your fate, babe. Like, this is you.
Well, listen, with you being on TV, with knowing the rules, you're kind of just setting yourself up for disaster. So, I mean, in the end, he's going to be his own worst enemy. But yeah, let's dive into these one-on-ones.
All right. So wait, first we want to name this episode. So what did you name name this episode?
Well, I put wee wee, but I was also going to change the spelling W-E-E-W-E-E.
Wow.
As a wee wee.
Yeah.
I know. That's all I had for this.
Are you 21? No, I feel like he's 16. I am.
But you know what? The amount of times I've heard wee wee, like, it's like you can play a drinking game last night. Like, that's how.
Yeah, I saw your tweet.
It was a popular word last night.
Yeah, I mean, they're in France. They're in Paris. So what do you expect?
How depressing is that place too?
You're insane. I'm going to get into my titles, and then we can like dive into the rest of the episode, and we'll talk about Paris when we get there. I named the episode Hayden Walks the Plank. Obviously, he gets sent home on a cruise ship.
I love that one.
Thank you very much. And then Amy, she's the one who runs our Bachelor Instagram account. She called it Justice for Rambo. But I don't know if I agree with Amy, we'll have to talk about this because, I mean, I love Rambo. We're all here for the dog, but I'm more pissed about Hayden.
Yeah, and like I said, we'll dive into Hayden. I have a lot of stuff to say in regards to him, but, you know, I feel for Rambo. I do.
All right, so let's get into this. These one-on-ones. So the guys find out they're going to Paris. Obviously, they're super excited because they've been locked in Bachelor Mansion for, you know, God knows how long. And so Tino and Jason, they get the first one-on-ones. And I was wondering at the very beginning when we were seeing them on their one-on-one dates, I was like, why aren't they doing anything cool? Like, they're in Paris and they're going to like a beret shop. But
yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
Well, here, it's because you can't like film The Bachelor in the Louvre or like, you know what I mean? That you can't film in those like amazing places. So that's why they're doing these like crepe dates, because I bet filming rules are really strict.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I didn't even think about that. I think just that is doing the basic, you know, beret sizing, crepes, all the dessert. That I think they should have done more of like a wine and cheese picnic somewhere, you know, somewhere in front of the Eiffel Tower.
I mean, it was raining.
You know, much... Well, that's why I said it was depressing.
But have you
it
been?
Wasn't
to,
a fun,
ha-
it wasn't a fun day.
So have you been to Paris?
No, never been.
You've never
been
to Paris?
I've been told not to go.
Why?
I've been told not to go. Just the weather's never good.
What?
I think the people there either. I know it's romantic. I would say for couples, you might have to go. But by yourself, I don't think it would be for me. And I can't even speak French, so.
You don't have... Oh my gosh, Brendan, we have to get you out. Paris is literally... gorgeous. I've been with friends and I've also been with a couple. It is so pretty there. And honestly, the fact that everybody just eats bread all the time is stunning.
So you want to go with me?
Oh my God. Are you asking me to Paris? I feel like you don't want to go.
I mean, listen, bread, wine, cheese.
We love it.
You know, one of the most romantic cities in the world. Come on, Kay.
All right. Yeah, we're going. So, I mean, I'm down. So we have Tino and Rachel, and I think they're a cute couple. I loved, you know, watching them do their little crepes and everything, but I'm struggling with this franchise in general. Still, this is something that I bring up every time, is that none of these conversations are about, until we get to at least dinner, but during the day, nothing is ever about like each other. It is all surface level. Like, this is how you make me feel. This is how I feel about you, blah, blah, blah. It's never, how are you supposed to move forward in these relationships if all you're doing is like just jerking each other off with compliments?
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely noticed that. I think Tino and Rachel are a great match. You can obviously tell there's chemistry, but yesterday it was so surface level. There was almost no conversation. It was just compliment, going for a makeout. Compliment, going for a makeout. So there was no conversation or much going on throughout that date until dinner came. And the one thing I do like about Tino and Rachel is that they kind of just got into their careers and jobs. And that was one thing you don't really see too often this early on. You kind of just, you do see those compliments. So their conversation was legitimate. And that was, I thought it was really good for their relationship. You know, talking about being a pilot and, you know, how he was open. Because it's not easy. You know, like I have parents in the airline industry. I get it. So it was cool to see them really dive in with legitimate conversations. Because after this whole process, once you leave the show, you know, you have to adapt to the real world, their jobs. You don't really know what your day-to-day life is with each other. So,
I
see Rachel. I mean, like she said it, she could see herself falling in love with him, but they seem to be on a good path. So,
no, I agree with you. That's actually a really good point about talking about the jobs, because just like you said, after this show, you know, right now they're in this fantasy world. They're in Paris. They're, you know, dining in a cathedral, they're wearing gowns and this and that. Like when you get back to real life, babe, you're going to see me in sweats and my makeup's not going to be on and nothing's going to be perfect. And like, not every day we're going to have some gorgeous, glamorous date. 95% of the time we're going to be like at home or going to the grocery store or like I have errands or I'm working. So kind of establishing that, hey, I want a family, but this is my career and this is how it's going to kind of have to be laid out afterwards, I think is really important. Yeah. And we don't really get that a lot.
Like I'm flying. You need to be home more of the you know, more so a better half of the time.
She's basically like, I need a stay at home dad. I kind of die for that.
She literally said that. Yeah. You know,
love
what?
It.
Sign me up. Sign me up. But no, I think it was great. You don't see that. You really don't see that too often with the franchise. And I feel like night one, you kind of just do a brief background of what you do. You know, week one, week two, you do a background of what you do, what you've done for a living, what your goals are. But to actually dive in together and, you know, kind of not have a plan in place, but to talk about that, it was cool to see. And it was a mature conversation on both sides.
So now let's get into Rach or Jason and Gabby. So I loved Jason at the beginning. Jared and I both loved him. We were like, okay, this guy, he seems really great. He looks good. His bio was really like kind. It seems like he has a good head in his shoulders. He is, hear me out first and then we'll obviously get into everything. But he is so fucking boring and he could barely get any words out. I understand that he's nervous, and this is what I was kind of getting into. He went into that. He was like, I'm nervous. I'm very uncomfortable. But it's like, babe, this is what we signed up for. And it's like, we have to figure out something because Gabby has the team on her back right now. Mm-hmm. The team is back. And she said something at dinner. She was like, I can tell you're like, you know, kind of, you know, more reserved. And he could barely say like, yeah, I am. And I don't know if that's, I don't know.
I'm letting you talk because I do like Jason. I get it from this entertainment standpoint.
Sure.
He doesn't have much to say. You know, they did bond a little bit on their family lives. Like obviously Gabby has a story and she's very open with it. And It seemed like a good therapy session yesterday.
Well, like, yeah,
That's what it is.
Well, that's what they bonded on, was both of them going to therapy. And so then, like, talking back and forth about, like, their experiences and him growing up and obviously her situation. So I do like that they are able to bond on that. And there was a clear connection. But I don't see this lasting much longer because, I mean, maybe it's a balance thing.
Well, yeah, it could be a balancing. I think, remember, you know, Gabby's looking for a husband. Jason seems like a great guy. He's so kind. He's genuine. Great smile. The guy's a stud. You know, if going down, like, you have to open up, you know, by next week, he has to take a drastic turn in opening up his life and showing those emotions more. Definitely, if you need to get to a point, he has to make those changes. But as a overall person, I think he's a great guy, and he would be a great fit. So I like Jason a lot. You know, it's better than being a loudmouth sort of obnoxious guy as well. Remember, we are looking for a husband.
I know, but I'm a loudmouth, like, obnoxious girl, so I feel like I need somebody.
He's not for you. He is not for you.
Well, so I've also had a friend who knows him and has hung out with him. He lives here in LA, okay, in Santa Monica. So do I. And so I know a few people that have, like, seen him around, etc. But my friend said, she was like, he is just as boring as he seems on TV. And I'm like,
just a simple guy, just a simple guy.
Dude, which there is nothing wrong with that. Like, he obviously is a nice guy, like, no drama. But personally, I think Gabby needs somebody more fun. She's so fun. Like, that scene of them stomping in the grapes, like, at the very end. First of all, bring back that. Why are we trying on berets? And she thinks she looks so bad in the beret, but it's mainly just because she had her hair up in a bun. I think if her hair was down, it'd be cute.
No, she has a great face for it. It was funny when they were putting on those hats. I was like, there's no chance I would be able to do this. Like, I would have walked out on that date. Like, I'm not putting on this hat. I would look awful.
So?
Awful.
Sometimes you have to be, like, silly.
I'm a silly guy, Kay. You know that.
Are you? Because you said you wouldn't even put on a beret in Paris.
Listen, let's stay on track here.
Okay.
Let's stay focused. I think Jason will get a good edit regardless throughout the season. So I like him. I'm rooting for him 100%.
I mean, if he was going to get a bad edit, I feel like it would have already started.
All it takes is one episode to change things, as you know.
That's true.
Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Cheirosa 62 perfume mist and Cheirosa 59 perfume mist. Both of them are equally great. Cheirosa 62 perfume mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Cheirosa 68 perfume mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BECHELOR10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BECHELOR10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BECHELOR10.
All right, so both Tino and Jason got roses, and we're moving on to this group date with Gabby. And just from the beginning of this group date, like, first of all, I love the boxing match. I think that's so fun. I think, you know, fighting for her love, and I'm really excited. And I was really excited that these guys finally get a group date with the girl that they're here for, or that they are
they want, yeah.
Yeah, that they want. I'm like, this is what we've been waiting for, kind of, because at the beginning, it was just like, let's go on these massive group dates, but nobody gets any time. Or now we have these one-on-ones.
It's a shit show.
Yeah. So I loved seeing this boxing match. And I also just really was disappointed in how Rachel handled it.
Yeah. It's really funny looking at these episodes. You go from them showing Gabby spiral, and then the other half of the episode, it's Rachel spiral, you know, doing a spiral. They're kind of breaking it up so each lead is going through something, but 100%, you know, the guys were told to stand there. You know what I mean? I know she wants attention. I do understand from Rachel's standpoint, you do need to take every second to want to talk to the lead. Like, you might have 5-10 minutes sometimes. Like, you have to take that step. Out of those guys, one guy should have been like, you know what? I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to steal her for a second.
But like, this is the thing.
Of those guys, at least one.
But this is the thing. This day was not about Rachel. It wasn't. They were on Gabby's date. This date was about Gabby's men fighting for Gabby, talking about Gabby, having, like, professing their love for Gabby. This Rachel and the guys were there as the audience. Like, they do that. Like, they'll bring in the extra guys for the audience. Yeah.
We did that in our season.
Right. And so there's, obviously, we have an extra bachelorette, but this date is about Gabby and the fact that Rachel somehow made it all about her wasn't fair. And you're obviously, right.
She should have been there just to support Gabby and cheer her guys on and do that. 100%. I'm saying from a guy standpoint, if I was there, I would, like, even if it's like you sneak over and just, you know, say hey, give her a hug. I don't know. I see things from the guy's perspective, trying to stand out for the lead. So I see it from a different perspective. But you're absolutely right, and you're always right, Kay.
I just think there's going to be, like, maybe it'll be next week where the group date is about Rachel, and I'm sure she would also want that respect from Gabby. And if Gabby started acting like that, Rachel would be pissed. I mean, she was even saying to her at the beginning, she goes, the guys aren't even looking at me. They're not even looking at me. Why aren't they looking at me? It's like, babe, because they're there to watch this, like, fight thing for Gabby's date.
Yeah.
You are on the other side of the ring.
You both agreed. You're on separate journeys now. Let it be. You're right.
Yeah. And I get it. And so what I've realized about Rachel is that she is very much, her love language is words of affirmation, and she needs to be shown that and told that, which I think is why Tino and later in the date, Tyler, I think are really good for, especially Tyler's, because, you know, he comes out with this poem. He comes out with this poem that he wrote for her. And I'm like, this is what she needs. She needs a guy that's like going over the top, telling her, reassuring her all the time, which is great. If that's your, like, the way you like to give and receive love, like, know that and lean into it. And I think Tyler's going to be a great fit for her because of that. But I think because of making this whole Gabby date about her was really selfish to me. I hated it.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think, how did you, I know you like the boxing date. What did you think about the guys in the ring confessing their love?
I thought that was Gabby. Cute. Man, Nate? Nate okay, better know the details.
I had this. Nate notices the small things. He's smooth. He is so smooth. He's mature. You know, each week he's the star of the show. You know, he knows what to say. But you know who really, really shocked me was Spencer. I saw him on screen and I was like, I kind of want to see more of this guy. And Spencer is a great guy too. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, we haven't really gotten to see a lot of him until now.
And he will, I think, in the next couple weeks. He, like, especially him and Tyler. Like, Tyler and Spencer are my go-to guys. Like, I feel like Nate wins every episode he takes the reign. He is a stud. But for guys that are just sort of getting that screen time now and getting that attention, like I said, Tyler with the poem, with getting that rose, going to Rachel's room, he's going to be a great fit as well. So I think he's going to go far. But Nate, I know Nate. You like Nate a lot.
No, I just think that he is... the most genuine out of Gabby's group of guys, and just on basic levels. I mean, the bar is in hell at this point. Like,
yeah, no, it's weird. Not that high.
The bar is low.
Yeah, for sure.
No, the bar is low. Just in general, in real life too, low. Yeah. But hearing him say these things like when you cross your legs when you're standing there, or like when you nod your head. I mean, first of all, I caught out the head nodding on the past couple of episodes and I can't unsee it. But stuff like that, like the other guys aren't mentioning things like that because they're not paying attention. Everything is so surface level. Also, Nate, you know, obviously has a daughter. And I just think he's grown and he knows what he wants and he knows. And he's not even just saying these things because he knows what to say, but he just genuinely means it.
Yeah, he's the real deal, I think, for, like you said, he's a dad, he's a man, he's very mature, especially when early on when he was standing up to other guys with, you know, the shit show happening. Nate's going to go far. I like him. I like him a lot. But Spencer's, you know, just from him serving as well, Spencer's very mature. But I do want to see more of him, you know, in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. So we talked about Spencer a bit. You know, we found out about his like military background. And I agree with you. I'm glad that Spencer got some screen time because we haven't really seen a lot of him. And later when we get into our categories, I have him down in a few things. And I think he's kind of cute. A little quieter than I expected still, but I think it's still at the beginning. But
yeah, I think he's just a gentleman, you know. He doesn't have to speak on certain things that he doesn't need to. Like I said, with serving, that does something to you with just under, you know, I feel like he thinks before he speaks. And a lot of guys in the franchise don't. They just kind of blab stuff out, right? So I think I've always, you know, you always see Spencer on the couch. You always see him listening to the guys and what they have to say. But I just think he's a gentleman. I think he's an awesome fit as well. So he's kind of one of my front runners as well.
Now, at the end of all of this, Rachel ends up, you know, hitting her breaking point and confronting the guys about not wanting, not like giving her attention at Gabby's group date. And their reactions are pretty shocked. To be honest, like, I would have also been shocked if I were one of the guys. And she was super upset about it. And I remember she even said on her date with Tino, I think she just takes everything so personally. On her date with Tino, she was saying, you know, having all those guys at the rose ceremony reject me and say they want to go to Gabby, she was like, without having any regards to how I feel, it's like, I don't think that was the intention. It's not like they weren't doing this because they don't care about how you feel. They were doing this because it's like, it's better we do this now. Like, this is what we were told to do. Like, we're supposed to, we're supposed to like pick and choose who we want. And it's very much a mutual, like we both have to choose. And again, with like Logan coming up later, like just because he wants Gabby doesn't mean Gabby wants Logan. So he has to make that decision.
Exactly. Well, I think the rule got thrown out there very quickly and the guys sort of had to be like, okay, am I going to be this villain down the line if I just keep accepting these roses and I'm not into her? Or do I just be straight up now, be honest, and you know what, if I get sent home, at least I was staying true to myself. That's sort of what it was.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought Logan's thing at the end was so shady, but we're not there yet. But okay, so now we have the Rachel group date. She finally is getting this attention. She finally has the guys to herself. Thank God they did not bring Gabby along because I was like, I don't have the mental capacity to handle
capacity.
All that. Yep. Oh, to handle that at the moment. But so right off the bat, it was kind of, I mean, it was cringy. There's these two, like, older couple making out. That went on for, like, a little too long. But I kind of liked the idea of the date, to be honest. Like, I thought it was funny. And, like, the armpit smelling, first of all, that's a real thing.
Are you into, like, the body odor thing?
No, it's not that. It's not body odor. It's, like, pheromones. And if you think about it, like, the girl, like, we're usually laying in your armpit. We have to know how it smells. And if you like fucking stink, like that's a wrap. So knowing what the armpit smells like is a huge like make or break on top of like normal pheromones. But like we're the ones laying in your arm with our face in your pit.
How about meatball? Meatballs aren't. That's tough. No, it's a tough one. And you know what? It was so cringy for me. I couldn't even watch the makeout with the hand.
You never did that when you were younger?
When I was younger, but I didn't film myself doing that. So there were certain guys. It didn't look like makeouts. There were some guys going at it.
Well, they also didn't say. I don't know. I can't remember. I don't think they said like you're making out with your hand. Maybe they told them it's like some. Maybe they told them they're like you like act like you're eating a girl out or something.
Great. Yeah. Well, that's great. What it looked
like. But yeah, I think like, and especially at the end, I know we just talked about the Tyler thing, but Tyler having this poem for Rachel, I mean, that is what she needed. She needed somebody to go above and beyond. And I think Tyler did that. And when they had that conversation, she said, she was like, I just feel like Tyler is so open to giving and accepting love, which he clearly is. Seems like a sensitive guy who, knows his feelings. It is open with his feelings, which we love. And I think she really, really desperately needs that at this point.
Yeah. No, he stepped up. Even before the season happened, you saw Tyler, his photo everywhere. People liked him. He's a handsome guy. I just didn't know if he was going to be a sleazeball or if he was going to be a great guy. So, you know, doing the poem, that was big for her. And it's not easy to do that, you know, to get very lovey-dovey early on in the season. But I think he's emotionally mature. You know, he talked about getting a house with his ex, or he bought a house and then she couldn't do that. Do you remember when he was talking about that with her?
Yeah.
So he's obviously, yeah, he's ready for love. He's ready to dive into the next chapter. So I love him. I love the guy.
Yeah, he seems great.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. And there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
Okay, let's go head first into this Hayden drama, because I have so many thoughts about it. First, Hayden, Rachel, they have a moment where he's talking about his dog Rambo, which is like so, honestly, so sad.
Yeah.
Hearing that, nobody wants to hear about a dog going through any sort of pain. And, you know, he's talking about, he was like, I just want you to know that if I wasn't actually serious about you and about this, I would not be here, which makes sense. Like, that's very obvious. I mean, I remember during Matt James' season, we had like Sarah Trott and like her dad was dying. And then there's just so many of these things. It's like, so it's great to see him make that effort.
Yeah.
And then their conversation gets interrupted. And Hayden is immediately like annoyed that he was like, this is not the response that I was wanting. Yes, I think she should have finished the conversation before, and instead of like cutting it off right then and there and before mm-hmm. going to talk to somebody else. But I think his reaction to being like, well, she, this is not what I was expecting her to say. Like, she acted like she didn't care at all, yada, 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 about the dog. And it's like, no, she didn't. And then it felt like, it felt sort of like he was using it as like a.
It was kind of like a stepping stone for him to be above her.
Yeah, just tried it. Like it was. He was using his dog as like a way to stay or like something.
Yeah,
that's kind of how his reaction was. That's how it made me feel.
Yeah, like okay, the story. You know, I had a dog who passed away. I was emotional as hell. You know, during that conversation, I was kind of upset that he took Rambo's toy away. Number one, I was like, why do you have the toy here? But yeah, I mean, you know, you got interrupted, Rachel. I'm trying to put stuff in perspective. Did she really just get up and leave? Like, I don't know how the production did
no,
it.
No, she, I mean, but it's, you know, it's more of not even the getting up and leaving part. Like, that's like, whatever.
It's just acknowledging it's his story.
It's more of his reaction to it. And she acknowledged his story. Like, she did all the things. She was like, I'm so appreciative that you shared this with me and went into this detail. But because he was cut off, he thought that she didn't care and she didn't do enough. Like, I mean, that's what he was talking about with the guys. He's like,
yeah,
she like totally ignored like my story and blah. Like, it was.
I personally think, you know, she did everything right. She listened to him. They, you know, it was a little emotional for both sides. And I think if you're a guy and you're opening up and you're getting emotional about something, something that means a lot to you, I think he just wanted more time with her. Obviously, just him getting cut off, he was probably hoping she would give him a couple more minutes. I think that's the only thing he was upset about, for him to go to the guys and use that as a stepping stone. Totally wrong. I don't agree with that. I just think he wanted a bit more time. And we all do in that situation, especially when you open up about something important. It's not just surface level. If you're diving into something and you're emotional, he just probably wanted to be... He didn't wanted Rachel to say, okay, just give me a few more minutes. Let me finish up this conversation. That's probably all he wanted.
But did he ask anything about her? Or was this just him talking?
No, of course.
You know what I mean?
No, it's true. It was just about Rambo. I don't think it was, like I said, great story from his standpoint and very sad, but I don't think that conversation would have led anywhere regardless.
It gave me his whole reaction. It gave me Hunter on Your Season's vibes, and he's like, I'm bringing out the pictures of the kids, like I'm going to show her something really special, sort of like using it as like a play, like a game guard or whatever. Like this will get her attention. And then when it didn't work as well, he was pissed.
No, you're right. You're right. No, it's getting that attention too. And each guy's different, right? Like I love Hunter, and I didn't really, you don't know anyone else's journey when you're there, but you know, you get to a point, if you have a family, you know, you have to acknowledge that, you have to bring certain things up. You know, from my standpoint, I have to talk about different things because I don't have kids. I don't have a certain story to tell. So some people can open up more because they have more to share. But I, like I said, in this situation, it was, you know, just about a dog. And regardless, even if the conversation, if he didn't walk the plank, I don't think he would have got a rose at the end of the day anyways.
No, I don't think he would have either. And so now we have Meatball finally gets his one-on-one time with Rachel. But this is what I say every season. I'm like, don't use your one-on-one time to tattle on someone else. But it worked out in his favor. He ended up staying. But he tells Rachel, he's like, all right, I got to like lay this in. He didn't even look like he wanted to talk to her. He like went and sat down and she's like, how are you? He's like, I'm great. Like, right. He was like ready to just like fucking let it rip. And he told her about all this stuff, which honestly, the stuff Hayden said was horrific. I mean,
it was awful. It was half of it was bleeped out. It was bad.
I mean, comparing these girls to your ex and being like, these girls don't hold a candle to my ex. Then go be with your ex, babe.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah. And he didn't trust them. He doesn't trust both of them.
Okay. So if she used the term rough around the edges about herself, sure. And I guess that's not a punishment on him for using that, but the fact that he didn't have to tell her, he did not have to explain why he didn't like her.
No, he could have just been like, "That was my problem." Pursue, right? Yeah,
Right.
Just pursue someone else.
That's my problem with the Hayden and Gabby stuff. Not the fact that he, like, I guess, especially now saying like rough around the edges, and apparently that's how she uses, that's how she describes herself, or like described it to him. He just didn't have to say it. Like, he didn't have to say that. He didn't have to say, oh, well, my morals or whatever align more with, fuck you. Like, don't, you can just say, I like them more. I think you're great, but this is the direction I'm heading.
Yeah. He was speaking like a politician. That's what he wants to be. And that's the route he was taking. So I'm glad he walked the plank.
Yeah. So, well, and then when Rachel, the thing is that when Rachel confronts him, he blatantly lies. He's like, I never said that, and blah, blah, blah. Babe, roll the tapes.
I was howling when she's like, do you know what this is about? He's like, well, I assume it's about the dog, right?
Oh, my God.
Like, I assume it's, you know, I assume it's about the dog in the conversation we just had. So,
how selfish.
And you know what? He wasn't even nervous in a sense about the conversation. Like, he was so dead on about the conversation with the dog that was why she was talking to him.
Because he only cares about him.
Yeah, exactly.
He only cares about himself and Rambo. But the fact, what I don't understand, you tell me, when you know you are on camera at all times and you're confronted about something, how are you not thinking about the fact that we're all going to see it? You know what I mean? Like, how is he able to sit there and say, I never said that, when
I mean, it happens.
You say it.
It happens every season. It happens every season. And it blows me away.
I know, but coming from like you, like, you've been on it. Like, how are you not, how are they not thinking about that? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's what I question too. Cause I knew first things first is like, I used to talk to myself in the mirror and say, think before you speak, listen, and just don't jump to conclusion.
Have you ever done that?
No, not with you, but no, in a show standpoint, you know, like I said, it can ruin you or you can be kind of neutral. And I wanted to just be, you know, I didn't want to jump to conclusion. You know, there's so many times I could have lashed out and said certain things, but instead of lashing out, I just wanted to have a conversation about things. And I just knew cameras are rolling. Don't look like an idiot. That should be in every guy's mind while filming.
And on the flip side, I do understand that sometimes things are out of your control and how things are portrayed regardless. But it's the same with the Piper and Brendan on Paradise when they're sitting here talking about, you know, followers and, you know, Us Weekly and this and that and their relationship. Like,
I know.
Like, we're seeing this. You know, yeah, what I mean? And so Hayden, oh God, I can't wait till the men tell all. Hayden is sitting there blatantly lying about the fact that he said all of this stuff. And I mean, my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah. No, he screwed himself. Men tell all too. I keep forgetting about that as well. It's going to be, he's going to get a lot of heat. For sure. And he deserves it too, because what he said, like I said, he wasn't just going surface level. He was diving in and ripping Rachel and Gabby apart. So I'm looking forward to tell all now.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into our weekly categories, starting off with a solid would you rather. Would you rather? I feel like I already know your answer, but. Would you rather go to Paris for a week or go on a cruise?
Cruise, 100%.
This tells a lot about a person, I feel like. Well, a cruise. All right. Have you been on one?
I've never been on a cruise. I've been to Europe and I love Europe. I just think Paris is a place for couples, and a cruise is just it's a blast. You meet people, you can network.
It's a place for kids.
Basically. So you and I would fit perfectly in there.
You know, I would also choose a cruise because I work. So, fun fact, I used to work on cruise ships as a singer dancer. I did it twice. I lived on board two times each for 6 months.
So you sing.
And yeah.
Oh,
you didn't know this?
No,
like my major in college was musical theater. Like that's
This explains a lot about your personality, Kay.
Thank you so much. But so I like cruises because, say you want to go to Rio and you book a 2 week trip to Rio. What if you hate it after 2 days? Like, what if you're like, oh fuck, I hate this place. Instead, you go on a cruise that stops in Rio, and then you can figure out all of these different places, figure out what you like and what you don't like, so you can go back to them. It's like an appetizer sampler.
You're just sampling
and
these countries.
Then you can figure out what you want to order the big one.
Exactly. You go explore, and then you go back to the open bar on the cruise ship, you know, hit the pool. I've never been. I think I could do like a 4-night to a week cruise. I couldn't do like a 2-week cruise.
Yeah. I did a 6-month.
Yeah, that's insane. That is insane.
The Bachelor must not give a fuck about global warming. So you're telling me they got this cruise ship for like 20 people and they're traveling around on this cruise ship for 20 people. You know how fucked up that is for the environment?
I mean, I'm sure there's production and there's
it's literally
more people,
like,
but yeah,
it's like a billionaire taking a jet, you know, 30 minutes away. The carbon footprint is fucked.
Even a billionaire on his yacht or his cruise ship, you know, just with him and his family just cruising. It's the same kind of concept. But for this standpoint, yeah, that's the first thing I like when I saw the guys get on board, I'm like, they rented out this cruise ship for
the whole ship.
Yeah, insane.
I mean, it's different if you're traveling with a bunch of people and it makes it somewhat quote unquote worth it. But the fact that there's only a few of them on board is
it's hilarious.
Whatever.
Okay.
Hit me with the would you rather.
Okay, would you rather French lessons with Jesse Palmer or hang out with Hayden?
I'm gonna go hang out with Hayden. Because it wouldn't be a hangout. It would be like a, let me explain to you. It would be like a lesson.
A lecture. It would be, this is classes in session. Sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to
How
me.
Not to be a dick.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because I knew you would choose that. I knew it right away. I knew you would choose that.
Mm-hmm.
I would do French lessons with Jesse.
He's good.
So, yeah, some people were saying he was butchering French, but I thought he was amazing. I don't even speak French whatsoever, but it sounded
okay,
good.
Okay, Canada, let's go.
No.
French
like,
in there.
Jesse, let's sit down for an hour. I need to... I was impressed. I was really impressed. So I was shocked that no other guys knew French at all. But I would... I guess
at
in,
all.
But in the States, I don't think it's mandatory. Here, it's mandatory in school.
You have to take a language
class?
In school. French, what growing up, you had to take French or Spanish.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, so I am shocked that no one knew a few words. Like if I knew a few, I would have said it, but yeah, you with Hayden, eh?
Yeah, everybody was like, I don't know. Okay, so this is a game that Jared came up with. It's basically a version of Marry, Fuck, Kill.
Okay.
And so we have these three categories, and you're either going to take them to the fantasy suite, bring them to hometown, or send them home right away. Okay?
Okay.
So fantasy suite, hometown, or send home. So someone who kisses with their eyes open, someone who's never been in a relationship, or the person who is always tattletaling on other contestants. Who would you fantasy suite, hometown, and send home?
Okay. This is awesome. The person who is always tattletaling on other contestants, I would send home. Someone who has never been in a relationship, I would do... It's tough. I would do hometown, and then someone who kisses with their eyes open to fantasy suite, because that's fixable. You can just say, close your eyes. Because someone who hasn't been in a relationship before, you know that it's not going to last. You know, you have to go through a few relationships in life to understand yourself and to understand how...
But you're still bringing in the hometowns?
Yeah, but, you know...
You're taking them to meet your parents and they've never even... I'm not shitting on your choice. There's no wrong answers here.
I just know that wouldn't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to I'm not going to change anything because you're making me change my mind now. But no. Someone who kisses with their eyes open. Is it consistently kissing with their eyes open?
Yeah.
Like full
They're
on.
They're looking right at you. Dead eyes.
Okay. No fantasy
speak. Just
for
turn
them.
The lights off.
Yeah, you know what? Just look the other way.
Turn the lights off. Not a big deal.
Yeah, how about you?
So me, personally, I would do the same thing with someone who's always tattletaling. I would send him home. But I'm the opposite. I would do hometown with somebody who kisses with their eyes open. And I would do someone who's never been in a relationship to fantasy suites. Because I feel like the person who's never been in a relationship, they're not committal. Fine.
No, you're right. And now I'm kind of switching my answers because the person who has never been, someone who has never been in a relationship, you know the sex is gonna be good. You know they're going to be good and bad. So I would like a retry, and I would like to say the person who has never been in a relationship, fantasy suites, 100%.
Okay, deal. All right, so
okay.
Top three men, who do you have? I feel like we should change it to top two now because we've already split up the guys.
See, the top three for me right in the moment would be like Nate, Tino, Jason, because Nate's been a front runner since early on, Tino as well. Jason, just because of that one-on-one in Paris. But, you know, at the end of the episode, you know, you saw Tyler really get that screen time, and you already know that connection is Rachel really, really likes him. So I'm going to stick to Nate, Tino, and Jason, but I do see Tyler taking the reins moving forward.
I agree with you on Nate and Tino for sure. I think Tino's sticking around for a bit, but I'm going to go Zach. Zach had that great date with Rachel, and I still think that he could be somebody who sticks around for a while. Zach.
I don't think we'll see Zach for a little bit until later on, just because the guys that do get those one-on-ones early
kind of disappear.
That quick connection, they kind of they fizzle out for a bit and then they come back. So, but Zach seems like a genuine guy.
All right. So if you had to pick one IG rising star, which guy do you think is going to be, you know, big following or like, you know, try to do something with his Instagram? I have Tino. I think Tino's going to low-key kind of capitalize off of this. I don't know why, but it's giving, I have a feeling.
I think Nate will capitalize huge, and Tino as well. It's weird though, just because I feel like Instagram, it's not as crazy as it used to be for some of these contestants, but I would say Nate and Tino for sure, they can capitalize big.
Yeah. Villain of the week. I said Rachel's expectations. I think she just is expecting so much more from this experience. Obviously, like, yeah, you're the Bachelorette. You would think that this is like the best thing ever, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you are sharing this with somebody. And like, nobody's perfect. Like they're a bunch of like, you know, mid 30s, late 20s, some early 20s guys. Like, you're not going to be getting these crazy grand gestures or like poems from everybody like you are with Tyler. Like, it's very, like, we have to lower the bar is in hell. Again, the bar is in hell.
And every guy's different. Every guy shows their emotions differently. And, you know, you'll build certain connections with certain guys totally differently. And that's what makes this whole, you know, social experiment, I call it, interesting and fun, and it's abnormal, but it could work. So I think just Rachel needs to be more open-minded and don't expect so much. So yeah, I like your villain of the week.
All right,
and mine's obviously Hayden, just because
trash.
It's Hayden. Yeah, so we can move on from him.
I actually decided to change my episode title to "The Bar Is in Hell." I decided to change that. I like that better. Because
I like that.
That's where it is. All right. So paradise picks. All right. Three guys. This is my favorite category just because I love, like, I try to create these like personalities for people when they go to paradise, because I think paradise is for one of two reasons. It's to either redeem your image or to ruin it. I feel like that's what happens. So like if you're somebody who is was like great on the show and super lovable, you end up fucking up somehow and all of a sudden you're the villain. Or you were the villain on your show and now you are, you know, in a great relationship and everybody loves you.
Yeah. You're Bachelor fan favorite. It's funny. It just, the tides always seem to turn. I don't think you can be consistent in a Paradise and Bachelorette. Like you can't do back-to-back shows and be consistently a good guy or consistently a villain. There's always a balance.
Yeah.
From what I've seen in the past. So
nobody wants to see that. This is fucking, this is TV. No.
Yeah. You have to show different sides of that person. And we see it all the time. So.
All right. So I said Avon, Quincy, and Spencer. I talked about this last week, but they kind of give me vibes of, we call them the bouncers. Jared and I, it was like, Aaron and Trey and James, like just like three bro dudes. We called them the bouncers. And so I'm thinking Avon, Quincy, and Spencer are going to be on Paradise. And I see them doing, especially Spencer, with that thick ass neck.
Yeah, I mean, I like Logan, Quincy, and Tyler. I want Tyler to go far. But Logan, just because he's just digging himself in a hole, and I think it would be fun to see him in a Paradise setting.
I think Logan would thrive in Paradise. He's a person who I think is going to ruin his reputation here on the show, but do well in Paradise.
Yeah, get engaged potentially.
Potentially. Okay, so this is our award that we give out each week, the Cringe Harrison Award. What was the cringiest moment in the episode for you?
Like we talked about, I think just Rachel's group date, just Meatball French kissing his hand. Like it was all cringy, but I just think that group date of the armpit smelling and Meatball making out with his hand, it looked a little odd. It wasn't a makeout. Yeah. It wasn't going down on someone. It was something else. And I'm just
Did I tell you that I met Meatball before the season started? So we're at, me and a few of my friends, McKenna, the usual gang, are at a bar right down the street from my apartment. Like we can walk there, and we're watching, it was one of the NBA finals games. And this guy comes up to our table, starts hitting on McKenna. I like call him out for just talking to her. And I was like, hi, we're all here. Like, I don't need you to hit on any of us, but like, if you're going to take our like girlfriend, at least like acknowledge us and be like, hey, what's up and whatever. And it was him. And he was like, what are you guys doing later? Blah, blah, blah. We end up walking down. We were like, okay, whatever. They exchanged like Instagrams or something. And then we left, walked down the street. We stopped in this like tattoo piercing place because we were like, should we get a tattoo? And or like a piercing. And he pops his head and he was like, what are you guys doing? And then asked us to come out later. And we're like, no, bro. Turns out I had not put it together. Like 2 days later, we saw him in like the cast list. And I was like, this dude. So
that's insane.
He's made it a lot longer than I thought.
Was he a good guy? Well, I mean, he got a second chance. He was going to go home.
But I mean, I don't know if he's a good guy or not. Okay. We spoke for 2 seconds.
He seems like a goofball and he's fun. I mean, he would be great on Paradise too. Everyone's annoying to you. There's not one guy that there's not one guy that doesn't annoy you.
Chris Evans.
Facts.
Okay, you're right. All right, so my cringe Harrison was a really small part, but I could not get over it. It was after Rachel confronted all of the guys about like not showing her attention during Gabby's date. And then you have Ethan who, man, I've never seen this guy before in my life, coming on the screen. Yeah, and he's you know, it's really hard to watch the girl that you're dating like crying over something like this. I'm like, who's going to tell Ethan he's not dating Rachel?
There's a few guys that I haven't seen. And yeah,
so Ethan weird.
Kang. Yeah. Hey, seems like a genuine guy. seems like a guy's guy, but yeah, just haven't seen much of him, and he's obviously there for a reason, so hopefully we see more of him moving forward. But yeah, Ethan, yeah, that was it was a little cringy. I do remember that now. It's like, who are
okay
we?
Yeah, no, actually, okay. And then who got your rose this week? Like, who out of all the people, who did you think would get your rose?
I just think Tyler Norris. He's the man. He, you know, Nate gets the rose every week, so I just want to stay away from Nate winning every week and sort of just give it to Tyler, and
he just stood out
to me. Yeah, I mean, like Tyler just stood out, and I'm happy for him, and I'm happy he's getting the screen time he deserves. So
I hear you. I think we needed Tyler to bring bring Rachel back down to earth, because it was just getting a little out of hand, and he kind of saved us with that, because she was having a really hard time. And so him like really stepping up and showing her the affirmation that she needed, I think was good. I changed mine. I had Nate down, but Gabby's stylist, whoever is dressing Gabby, needs an award. Her outfits are tens every time. I mean, yeah, she obviously is gorgeous, but like the outfits are so good each time, like effortless, cute, fun.
They're very consistent this season for Gabby. I agree. Because a lot of seasons too, you'll get like one nice dress, brutal outfit. And I would say the dresses are usually pretty good for cocktail parties for the leads, but it's the group dates that I don't like. Like they'll dress some of these leads up horribly.
Oh, okay. Like in the jeans and whatever?
In the jeans. Well, like even Jesse Palmer, when he was speaking French, he was wearing that old school sweater. And I was like, that's not his vibe at all. So just like the group date outfits, they can do better.
I mean, the whole thing is kind of like choogy. Like being low-key being a contestant on The Bachelor, I feel like is choogy at this point. Me and my two girlfriends were talking about it while we were watching. We're like, is being on The Bachelor like kind of choogy now? And then like, because I mean, you think about it, like who's wearing ball gowns to dates and like these long like gala looking things? And then you have to think about like
are we going to the Met Gala? Are we gonna go to the Oscars tonight, or are we just gonna sit in an empty theater?
But what I love about it is that it's kind of but we just accept it. Like I wasn't questioning, like I'm not questioning them having dinner in a cathedral wearing a gown and like fur. I'm like, yeah, this seems right. We just consistently accept it.
We agree with it. And we just go with the flow. It's like, it's The Bachelor. It's really so funny. This is right, but it's not real life.
It's really funny how much we accept with not just The Bachelor, but with TV in general, or with things in general. Like society has taught us like you have to work 9 to 5 and you have to sleep during nighttime hours. And it's like, okay, we just accept it. Like who made this rule that we have to sleep at night and we have to be at work from this time to this? Like, I don't know. I'm getting the conspiracy stuff.
No, I agree. I've never been that 9 to 5 guy. I've hated it, but people are brainwashed into thinking this is what life should be like. 9 to 5, then you go home to your dog, go to your house, and then go to bed, wake up again, redo. Mm-hmm. So, and the one thing the show which I really do enjoy is seeing what some of these people do for a living. And it's really cool to see some of these people's jobs, because it's not the ordinary. No. So you meet people from all walks of life, and it's really cool. So,
okay. So, Brendan, this was so much fun. Thank you for hosting with me. I've never actually had any time we've done an episode with or without a co-host like Jared or I. It's just been like a normal interview. But you took on the job of fully co-hosting, did the categories, the whole fucking shebang.
This was fun. I appreciate you having me. I wish I was feeling a bit better. My voice is a little off, so I apologize. But obviously, it's always an honor to be with you, Kay. It always is.
obviously. So tell everybody where they can follow you, where they can find you. Do you have anything coming up that you want to tell anybody about?
Nothing coming up. You can follow me at the Brendan Quinn on Instagram. But there's nothing really exciting coming up. I'm just focused on just having fun for the rest of the summer. You know, it's coming to an end soon here in a couple more months. Just trying to enjoy time with family and friends. And I definitely need to get to Los Angeles soon. So
that's right.
We'll plan that.
That's right. So I guess if you're in Toronto, go say hi to Brendan. Make sure you are following us on Instagram at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. You can also subscribe to our newsletter, The Bachelor Breakdown, at betches.co/bachelorbreakdown. We're giving you all the Bachelor tea, everything that happens during the week when we are not recording. And then you can also follow me at K York City everywhere. Brendan, thanks so much again, and we will be back next week. Bye.
Thank you, Kay. Bye.
The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and at Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.